Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning. We have a great word, and the word that God gave me from this morning is coming out of the New Testament, and it's simply this: I am not alone because the Father is with me. And that is a word that I needed this morning, that I am not alone because the Father is with me. We know that God has said in his word, he will never leave us or forsake us. And when we stand on it, everything will fall into place because we have faith that our Father is with us. So I thank God this morning for this mighty word that we have coming forth. We are a Bible reading, teaching blog, our show. Thank God for this assignment. As I was going back over some old shows yesterday, actually, or day before, and realized that I have been doing this show since May of 2015. And it just totally floored me because time goes so quickly. But I am grateful that God has given me this word. So I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his mercy. And I just thank God for being who he is, a mighty and wonderful Father. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with humble hearts, asking you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease. Lord God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Lord God, let this word go forth that someone will receive it, will hold on to it, and will know that it's just for them. Lord God, we thank you for being with us always, for never leaving us alone. Defend for ourselves, because you are there guiding us to what we need. Lord God, I pray your word touches my heart as it touches the hearts of those that are listening. For this is my time with you. I thank you for the time you and I had this morning, just me and you. Time to hear and to listen to the word myself. But Lord, thank you for touching my heart with the words you have spoken to me. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I lift up your name. For you are Jehovah. You are Yahweh. You are my friend. And I am grateful to be your daughter, for you are my Abba Father, which are in heaven. Hallowed be your holy and precious name. Lord God, I know you are coming. That when no one knows but you, not even our Savior knows when you are coming. I just pray, Lord God, that we are all ready. Lord God, again, please add a blessing to the hearers and reader of this word. In Jesus' name I pray. Thanking you for waking me up this morning and giving me an opportunity for a do-over. Amen. Giving God honor, glory, and praise, and thank him this day. If you woke up this morning, it's a do-over. Whatever God does for you, giving you opportunity to be better today than you were yesterday, that's a do-over. Thank God for waking you up, for giving you joy in your heart, even though we all go through. We all go through. But we got to trust God, and we got to stand on his word. And when we stand on his word, not the word that is out there, you know, claim it, name it, all that stuff, that's not in the word. It's not. But Jesus did say that whatever you ask in my name, I would give to you. So we got to ask what it is that we need. Need. No, I said need. From the Lord. And what we need is salvation. So I thank God for answering prayers of salvation. Because I humbly submit my heart, my mind, and my spirit to be used by God. Because we are the church. Wherever we go, God goes with us, making us the church. Are you a mean and nasty church? Are you a loving and kind church? Do you smile or are you always frowning? Because who you are on the outside is what men see. But you, who you are on the inside is who God sees. So let God see that beautiful smile, that inward smile, that happy joy of the Lord smile this morning. And just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for your discipline. Because he loves you. He disciplines me because he loves me and he wants me to be better. So let's keep that in mind when you're going through that you might just be getting a little discipline from your dad because you haven't been acting right. But understand, it's done in love. So let's get into our word this morning. We are still dealing with Ahab, who we know just died. Now we're about to talk about his son, Jehoshaphat. Actually, Joram, Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. So let's keep going and let's get moving. We are in 2 Kings. Chapter 3. Actually, no, we're not. I'm trying to rush this thing. We are in 2 Kings chapter 1. And we all know when we go into a new chapter, we got our little book that tells us everything we need to know in 10 words. Y'all ready? So we have been in 1 Kings. Now we're in 2 Kings. And we're going to sum 2 Kings up in 10 words or less. And it says this, both Jewish nations are destroyed for their disobedience to God. Bam, that's some harsh words. But that is 2 Kings summed up in 10 words or less. Both, not one, but both Jewish nations are destroyed for their disobedience to God. And just kind of going over an overview of 2 Kings, it says, not stated and unknown, only early tradition claimed Jeremiah wrote 1 and 2 Kings, date covering about 300 years from 800 B.C. on to 2 Kings, was probably written sometime after the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. And this is some details. The story of 1 Kings continues with more bad rulers, a handful of good ones, and some familiar prophets, and the ultimate loss of two Jewish nations. Early in 2 Kings, Elijah becomes the second man after Enoch in Genesis 5:24 to go straight to heaven without dying. His successor, Elijah, performs many miracles and shares God's word with the average people of Israel. The northern kingdom's rulers are entirely wicked, and Israel, under its last king, Hosea, carried away into Assyria, 17:6 Second Kings chapter 17, verse 6. And in 722 B.C., Judah, with occasional good kings such as Hezekiah and Josiah, lasts a few years longer. But in 586 B.C., the southern kingdom's capital of Jerusalem was broken up. Chapter 52, verse 4, by Babylonian armies under King Nebuchadnezzar. Besides taking everything valuable from the temple, the Jewish king's palace, the Babylonians also carried away all Jerusalem and all the princesses and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths. Ending on a slight up note, 2 Kings describes the new king of Babylon, Evil-Merodach, showing kindness to Jehoiachin, the last real king of Judah, by giving him a place of honor in the Babylonian court. A quotable from 2 Kings. Behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. The Lord rejected all the seed of, and that was, we'll be reading at today, actually, that is chapter 2, verse 11. In chapter 17, verse 20, the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. So play with God. So Judah was carried away out of their land, chapter 2 Kings. Chapter 25, verse 21. And this is unique and unusual for 2 Kings. Isaiah, who wrote a long prophecy that appeared later in the Old Testament, is prominent in 2 Kings, chapter 19. One of Judah's best kings, Josiah, was only 8 years old when he took the throne. 2 Kings, chapter 22, verse 1. So what? Both Israel and Judah found that there were terrible consequences to sin. Even bad examples can be helpful if we decide not to do the things that bring us trouble. That is an overview of 2 Kings. So one more time, 2 Kings, in 10 words or less, both Jewish nations are destroyed for their disobedience to God. And I say to you guys today, we don't want to be destroyed because of disobedience to God as a nation. We as a nation have got to stand on the word of God. Trust God. Don't listen to folks lying to you. If it's a lie, a lie is a lie, and it don't change. You can clean it up just like you can wash a pig, but they keep going right back to the muck and the mire, just like a lie keeps coming back to show what it is, a lie. We got to stop it. We got to cut it out. We got to quit believing what's wrong and try to make it right, because wrong is wrong and right is right. Trust God, family. Trust God. You know, if you're a mystery reader, you always hear the term, trust no one. We got to trust God. That's the only entity, the only person in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, in Father God, that we trust 100%, that they will never tell us the wrong thing to do. But man is fallible, and man can have a tendency not to tell the truth. And if you're gullible, you're going to believe a lie over the truth. And you will stick by it because you don't want to be made to look foolish. I will believe a lie instead of saying, I'm sorry, God, I made a mistake. Or telling people, I made a mistake. You'd rather stick with the lie because you don't want to be made to look foolish or gullible. So I say you need to repent. Ask God to forgive you. Ask your mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers to forgive you and move forward. Life happens. We all make mistakes. But all we have to do is admit, repent, and in many, many instances, forgive and move forward. Trust God. That's what we trust. In God we trust. Not in money. Not in man. In God. So let's get into our word. And it says this in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1. Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Now, Uzziah fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and was injured. So he sent messengers and said to them, go inquire Beelzebub, the god of Accra, whether I shall recover from this injury. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. So Elijah departed. And when the messengers returned to him, he said to them, why have you come back? So they said to him, a man came up to meet us and said to us, go, return to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Accra? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. Then he said to them, what kind of man was it who came up to meet you and told you these things? So they answered him, a hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. So he went up to him. And there he was sitting on the top of a hill. And he spoke to him, man of God, the king has said, come down. So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I am a man of God, then let fire come down from the heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Then he sent him another captain of 50 with his 50 men. Now, if I was a king and I knew that my men had been lit up by the fire of God, I think I would repent and get my life together. But not this king. Not a descendant of Ahab. Here it goes. And he answered and said to him, man of God, thus says the king, thus has the king said, come down quickly. So Elijah answered and said to them, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, he sent a third captain with 50 with his 50 men. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him and said to him, man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50s with their 50s, but let my life now be precious in your sight. And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him. Do not be afraid of him. So he arose and went down with him to the king. Then he said to him, thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Accra, it is because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word. Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. So Ahijah died according to the word of the Lord with Elijah, which Elijah had spoken, because he had no son. Jeroboam became king in his place to the second year of Jeroboam, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now the rest of the acts of Ahijah, which he did, are not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. Well, you know you're a mess when they don't even put your stuff in the Chronicles. You just a name in the Bible. There's nothing in the Chronicles to tell what kind of king you were. You was just wicked. You know, you're going to inquire of the devil before you inquire of God. Come on now. God sees everything. Remember that, y'all. And as we continue in our word this morning, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went to Elijah from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elijah, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elijah said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophet who were in Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Elijah, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophet who were in Jericho came to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on, and 50 men of sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elijah, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elijah said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his old clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elijah crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophet who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elijah." And they came and met him and bowed to the ground before him. Then they said to him, "Look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master. Lest perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "You shall not send anyone." But when they urged him that he was ashamed, he said, "Send them." Therefore they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" Then the men of the city said to Elijah, "Please notice, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren." And he said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have killed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness." So the water remained healed to this day according to the word of Elijah, which he spoke. Then he went out from there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youth came from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." So he turned around, looked at them, and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. Touch not my prophets. You know, even children. You don't have to be old to die. But no, there was 50 of them, right? And then he went up. No, it just says some youth. It didn't say how many. Mocked him. You'll go up, you bald head. You know, kids can be cruel. And unfortunately, God does not play even with children. As I've given my testimony to you before, as a seven-year-old, I was disobedient. Disobedient. Told not to cross the street, to go to the corner store, because the street was a busy street. Told not to do it. But I got dared by somebody. And so as not to look bad to my peers by being afraid, I did it anyway. Went across the street, bought my little pickle with my little peppermint in it, and most people were like, that sounds nasty. But it's a sudden thing that, you know, only a few folks understand. But anyway, I bought my pickle, put my little peppermint inside it, and was headed back across the street, hoping that nobody realized that I had gone. I got hit by a car. Could have died that day. 10th Street in Paducah, Kentucky, in front of South Side School in 10th Street Park. I could have died that day as a seven-year-old being disobedient. But God saved my life because I had a calling on my life. To do what I'm doing today, to speak to you and tell you, you don't have to be old to die. These babies, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. You can see them being smart elegant and nasty. No home training is what they used to say back in my day. And it says some youth came from the city and mocked him. So he turned around, looked at them, and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel. But I tell you one thing, that whatever more youth was with them, they got a lesson. Don't mess with people of God, especially a prophet of God. And I'm saying a true prophet of God. There are prophet liars out there. You got to call them out. But a true prophet, you got to leave alone and keep your tongue behind your teeth. And this is what it says, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 21. I have killed this water. The salt did not heal the water, nor did Elijah's word, the Lord healed the water. Yet the Lord usually chooses to work through both people and things to accomplish his works. Psalm 71, verses 9 through 16. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, from there is none to deliver him. Oh God, do not be far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness of yours only. And all I can say is I thank God for saving my life. Yes, I have. As Paul said, he had that reminder, that thorn in his side. Mine is I have pain in my knees and my right side, because that's the side I was hit on, was the right. And the fact is that every time I get a pain in my knee and my right side, I am reminded of my disobedience. I am reminded that God saved my life. I am reminded that God saved me for a purpose and a reason. And I thank him. Yes, there are days that it hurts to walk, but I am thankful that I live and breathe and have my being. I live, I move, and breathe and have my being. I am great. I live and move and have my being. But I breathe because God gave me the breath of life and did not take it from me. As the psalmist says, I will go in strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. I make mention that God saved my life as a child, a disobedient child. But he saved me anyway because he loved me. And I say to you today, if you are not saved, if you have gone through something traumatic, like not being able to walk and having to be carried just to go to the restroom as a child because you were not right, God saved my life. And I'm thankful. Proverbs 18:6-8. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty truffles, and they go down into the innermost body. You know, folks love to hear the lies, get all excited, because, you know, I'm going to go tell you. Now, you know, girl, that Sister Susie was over at Boo Boo and them. But she always trying to be the usher at the door at the church. I wonder what she doing down there. I ain't one to gossip, you know. You ain't heard this from me. But I saw her car out there in front of Boo Boo Nymph. And I know it was her. Because, girl, always trying to act like she's so holy. And she's so this. And she's so that. But what they didn't tell you was that her grandchild has a child with Boo Boo's son, and they were having a party for the grandchild, and it just happened to be at Boo Boo Nim's house, and that she was not indulging. She was speaking the word of God over those that were in attendance. And some of the folks at the house of Boo Boo and them got saved that afternoon because Miss Sister Susie, who was acting like a woman of God because she got redeemed, she got saved. And all that negativity that was all on her as an usher, because she was one of the mean people, one of the mean ushers. Always didn't have a smile on her face when you came in, took you to your seat and did not look at you again. But that was because she was going through. And her attitude, she had to get an attitude adjustment. And once she got that attitude adjustment, she became an awesome, mighty usher. Had a smile on her face. And didn't care who you was dressed like. She put you where you needed to go because God gave her discernment to know who needed to sit where. But she was at Boo Boo Nim's house for a purpose and a reason. But the gossip and talebearers want to try to pull her name through the mud because they know she's been changed. But that's what happens. The folks see you change. They want to bring you and be talebearers running your name down, talking about you like you're a dog, instead of finding out what the real deal is. But everybody be first one to say, well, girl, you know, Sister Susie, the usher over at, she was at Boo Boo and them's house down the street, and you know what they do down there. Instead, girl, I don't know why she was all up in that house. Make you wonder how saved she is. Y'all know who I'm talking about. And if you don't, it might be you. Come on now. Let's keep it moving. We are in the New Testament in John chapter 16, verses 1 through 33. And Jesus is, wow, just getting folks ready. And it says this, these things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Come on now, Paul. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you, the truth it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to help you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Understand, the devil has already been judged. That's why he's trying to take as many with him as he can. He wants to change this and that, make a wrong into a right and a right into a wrong, make a lie into a truth and a truth into a lie. We know that he is a deceiver and he is deceptive. He is cunning and he is evil. He's a vile, sneaky snake, but he is not a red-horned demon like they try to portray him in the movies. Remember, just remember this. He was the most beautiful angel up there in heaven. And that's why he thought he could take over. That's why he thought he could be God. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by smiling faces. As they used to say, what is it? Back in the day, smiling faces tell lies. They don't tell the truth. Beware of the pat on the back. It just may hold you back. We got to be aware of the smiling faces of those that claim to be for the American people, those that claim to be of God, those that claim to be all this in a bag of chips, but yet the only thing they can ask you for is, I need you to get extra. Give all that you got because your pastor needs a new car. Your pastor needs a new house. Your pastor needs another jet. Your pastor needs a new swimming pool. Your pastor needs everything. But what do the people of God need? When you got a young lady in your congregation that needs food and you giving $100 for the pastor's jet. There's a young couple who are about to lose their home, but you're giving $500 for the pastor's jet. And when the couple goes to the pastor to say, we need some help with our mortgage, the pastor looks at them and said, I'll be praying for you, when he's got enough money to pay their house off. We got to understand. We got to be careful. I don't even know where these words are coming from. I know they're coming from God, because somebody is listening that God is putting in your heart to help somebody. To help somebody and not trying to get accolades with the pastor, but to do what you need to do to help your fellow man, to help your fellow parishioners who may be going through. You just don't know it. Yes. When God puts on your heart to go and do whatever, just do it. And as we go continue in the word of God, Jesus is speaking. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. But he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take up what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take a mine and declare it to you. A little while you will not see me. And again, a little while you will see me because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said amongst themselves, what is this that he says to us, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father, they said, therefore, what is this? He says, a little while. We do not know what he is saying. Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring amongst yourself about what I said? A little while, and you will see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. A little while, you will not see me. And again, in a little while, you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. That's a word. And I say it again, just as Jesus said, whatever you ask, but don't ask amiss. Don't ask amiss, because sometimes some things you ask for can be a snare. They can be a snare to your salvation. Ask God to give you what he needs you to have. But Jesus has also said most, and he said most assuredly, meaning it is a fact. I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. John 16:23. And it say it again. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You got to ask to receive. That's a word, chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. You hear people always say, well, you don't get it if you don't ask. This is where it comes from. Until now, you have asked nothing. In my name, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You have not because you ask not. Got to talk to God. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I come forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, see now, you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this you believe that you came forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each of his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And as we all know, the disciples, many, died horrible, horrible deaths because of their love for God and their belief in him. But God never, he said, you will be with me. He knew, in a little while, y'all not going to see me because I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die for you. But in a little while, you will see me, because he knew they were going to die. He knew there would be tribulation upon them because of their belief in him. And we think that the Pharisees are gone. Oh, that's a Bible thing. No. The foundation of Judaism is the Pharisee and scribe. It's Pharisee, acidical. That's what they believe. When you read about the Pharisees, you're reading about Judaism. But understand, there are Jews for Christ. There are those that believe in the Son. And then there are those that believe in the prophets and the law, and they can't wrap themselves around this little humble carpenter coming out of Galilee, coming out of Nazareth, being born in Bethlehem. Who is this guy? But he was the Son of God, and he is the Son of God, and he is watching over us today. John 16 and 22, life lessons. As Dr. Stanley says, and the verse says, I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Sorrow and happiness are both a part of the human experience, and both depend largely on circumstances. When we unite ourselves to the risen Christ, however, he gives us joy that no circumstances can dampen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. John 16 and 24, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. To ask in Jesus' name means to connect your request with the will, plan, and purpose of God, of Jesus Christ. It is not a magic add-on to hedge your bets. It's with your request to the sovereignty of Jesus. That's why you can't ask willy-nilly in Jesus' name. You can't play with that request. So many folks want to tongue-in-cheek, oh, in Jesus' name. No, don't play like that. Don't play with the word of God. Don't play with the name of Jesus. You take it to the Lord in prayer, and you ask in supplication in the name of Jesus, but don't play with it. 33, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. How could a man about to be crucified say he has overcome the world? Jesus overcame the world by obeying his Father despite all challenges and opposition. In a similar way, we too can be overcomers. We got to pray, family. You got to keep pushing. Pray until something happens. We know that the Lord is coming back. We know that God has already preordained who will and who won't make it in. Let your attitude determine your altitude. And that is not in the Bible. That is something that was said by ministers. And it's said to get your attention. Not to say this is scriptural, because it's not. I have not seen it anywhere. If I haven't seen it, I'm not going to say I have. I have not seen your attitude determines your altitude. I haven't seen it. But it's said to get your attention, because the Lord has already told you what is an attitude that we got to love, an action word. We got to have faith, an action word, hope, joy. And sometimes you're going to have patience, long-suffering. It's like, ugh, but you got to have it. You got to keep those fruit of the Spirit, that fruit of the Spirit in your heart, your mind, and your soul. Because it determines who you are, an attitude. Because you have those folks that don't have. They have them other things. Fornicators, adulterers, liars, cheaters, doing all kind of abominations to God. You better stay away from them people. God will tell you who to minister to. And God will tell you, don't go there. You don't have the equipment to fight that demon. Just keep remembering the sons of Sceva who thought they had it going on. And the demon told them, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But I don't know you. And beat them naked. Be careful what you're messing with. And this is what we have to say. This is the Holy Spirit guides us, and this is from Dr. Stanley. So the Bible promises that the Holy Spirit will guide us, with an emphasis on the word guide. Jesus doesn't promise that the Holy Spirit will control us. He doesn't promise that he will drive us. He doesn't say that the Holy Spirit will force us to do anything. He says he will guide us. At times, I wish the Holy Spirit would control me when I feel tempted or when it's a beautiful Saturday afternoon and I need to study. But everything in me wants to grab my camera and head for the mountains. Life would be much easier and I would be a much more enjoyable person if the Holy Spirit would just reach out and take control of me. But that is not the case. He is our guide, not our controller. At no point do we lose our ability to choose to follow his leading. Consequently, we are always reliable for our words and actions. The Holy Spirit guides believers into truth that makes his guidance trustworthy. The Holy Spirit helps believers discern between what is true and what is not, what is wise and what is foolish, what is best and what is simply okay. As the detail of everyday living barrage you, the Holy Spirit will guide you. He will give you the extra on the spot sense of discernment you need to make both big and small decisions. And as you develop greater sensitivity to his guidance, you will worry much less about the decisions you make. The Holy Spirit never speaks on his own like Christ, the person, like Christ, this person of the Trinity, willingly submits to the authority of the Father. Everything he communicates to us is directly from the Father. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take up what is mine and declare it to you, John 16:13-14. The Holy Spirit is God's mouthpiece to believers. When you think about it, this makes perfect sense. After all, where does the Holy Spirit reside? In you and in me. Since he has direct access to our minds, emotions, and conscience, he is the perfect candidate for communicating God's will to us. And that is our word this morning. But God loves us to give us his word. And Jesus has already let us know whatever you ask. Whatever you ask. Not telling you you can't ask for anything. He says whatever you ask. I am not alone because the Father is with me. And then Jesus tells us, do you now believe? Do you now believe, family? He is coming. He's coming back. The question is, are we ready? That is all I have this morning, because I know, you know, we are not alone because the Father is with me. Oh, I love God, and I know that he loves me. And I love this word. It says, what Jesus said in John 25:33, these things I have spoken to you, figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and I have believed that I came forth from God, and I came forth from the Father, and I've come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, see, now you are speaking plainly. Jesus does not want us to falter. He wants us to believe. He came from the Father, And when God speaks to us, he speaks to us through the Spirit. Just be quiet and listen. We get so caught up in everything going around that we forget to just be still and listen. And as Jesus said, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And because the Father is with him, he is with you. You are never alone. Because God spoke to us and said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I stand on the word of God. Joshua 1:5. Joshua 1:9. I am with you wherever you go. That's what God says. Just like he was with Moses, he will be with us. Don't falter. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. You are God's children, and he loves you. And you are not alone, because the Father is with you. Just as the Father was with Jesus, he is with me. He is with you. Thank God for his Spirit. Thank God for his Son. Thank God for being Abba Father, for loving us so much that he says, I will never leave you. Keep trusting God, family. That's all I have again this morning. I keep trying to end, and God keeps putting more stuff in my mind, in my spirit to speak. But I thank him for this day that he has made. I rejoice, and I'm glad in it. And he has given a word to our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and it says this. Good morning. When God's word is abiding in our heart, it makes us victorious over the enemy. Have a marvelous Monday, family. As my voice is trying to go, I say to you today, just remember, you are never alone. Father God is with you. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our Savior Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a marvelous day. Have a blessed day, knowing that God is with you. I say this in Jesus' name because I know that it is a reverent prayer for your protection and for the angels of mercy and grace to surround each and every one of you as children of God. And if you don't know him, today is a great day to be saved. Have a blessed day, family. As we say, it's a wrap, because we are always willing, ready, available, presently praying for each and every one of you. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Because why? I got to go to work. I love you guys. Be blessed.